A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You've got a Raspberry Pi, you're poking at your local network with ARP. Maybe you've cracked open Wireshark, and then you hit a wall. Someone mentions monitor mode, packet injection, and suddenly your $15 USB adapter won't cut it. Daniel's been digging into this, and he's got a whole set of questions. He wants to know about the category of hardware that's built specifically for network scanning and probing. Not regular networking, not standalone diagnostic tools, but gear that integrates with Linux systems like a Raspberry Pi. He's asking whether there are wireless cards better suited for ARP scanning than a standard USB adapter, what the legitimate diagnostic uses are for this stuff, including Wi-Fi spectrum and RF environment probing. And, he says, not to skirt around the obvious concern with this class of gear. So today we're looking at the hardware that's built to listen, and sometimes to talk back, and what that actually means for the person trying to diagnose a network.
The distinction that underpins all of this is passive versus active scanning, and it's one of those things where the vocabulary gets thrown around without people realizing how different the two modes actually are. Passive scanning means listening only. Your device captures packets that are already in the air, but it never transmits anything. It's completely silent. Active scanning means sending probes, ARP requests, injection frames. You're reaching out and poking the network to see what answers. And here's the thing most people don't realize. Your laptop's built-in Wi-Fi card is designed for neither of those. It's built for one job, associate with an access point and pass traffic. That's it.
Managed mode.
In managed mode, your car can only see traffic that's addressed to it, or broadcast from its associated access point. It's like being at a party but only hearing conversations from the person you walked in with. Monitor mode is what lets you hear every conversation in the room, every 802.11 frame on a given channel, regardless of which AP it's headed to. But not all adapters support monitor mode, and even fewer support packet injection, which is the ability to transmit raw frames without ever associating with a network. And that's where the hardware question gets interesting, because the gap between what a $15 adapter does and what you actually need for real diagnostics is wider than most people think.
So let's start with the hardware taxonomy. What actually exists? What does it do? And why does the chipset matter more than the brand name on the box?
The chipset is everything. I can't stress this enough. You're not buying a brand, you're buying whichever chipset is inside the plastic shell, and the brand is often just whoever slapped their logo on it. For monitor mode and injection on Linux, there are three families that have been the gold standard for years. Atheros, AR9271, and AR95AW. Those are in a lot of the older Alpha gear, and they're still rock solid. Raylink RT5572, same story. Excellent driver support in the kernel, handles injection cleanly. And then there's the Realtek RTL8812AU, which is what's inside the Alpha AWS 036 ACH, and that's probably the most common entry point for people doing this kind of work today.
The Alpha AWS 036 ACH. That's the one with the big antenna that looks like it escaped from a router.
That's the one. About $40, dual band, 2.4 and 5 GHz, and it's been the workhorse for Kali Linux and Raspberry Pi setups for years. The RTL8812AU chipset has good but not perfect injection support. It'll inject deauth frames, it'll handle probe requests, it'll do most of what you need. But if you're doing something that requires precise timing, like certain kinds of WPA handshake capture, it can be a little sloppy compared to the older Atheros chips. It's a workhorse, not a precision instrument. But for $40, it's hard to beat.
And that's the thing, $40 and a $50 Raspberry Pi, and suddenly you've got a rig that can capture and inject 802.11 frames. 10 years ago, that setup required driver compilation and a lot of swearing.
The commoditization of this hardware is one of the biggest shifts in the space. I remember when getting monitor mode working meant patching kernel modules and hoping your card didn't freeze. Now you plug in an alpha adapter, boot Kali, and it just works. That's democratized network diagnostics in a genuinely useful way, but it's also democratized network attacks, and we'll get to that. But first, let me fill in the other end of the hardware spectrum, because the alpha adapter isn't the only game in town.
Daniel specifically asked about hardware that integrates with Linux systems, not standalone tools. So what else is out there?
The WLAN Pi Go is probably the most interesting device in this category. It's about $250, runs a custom Linux distribution, and it's built from the ground up for passive capture. Dual band radios, GPS for war driving style surveys, and it comes preloaded with TCP dump, Wireshark, Kismet, all the tools you'd otherwise have to install and configure yourself. But here's the key design choice. It can't inject packets. At all. The transmit side is intentionally crippled. And that's not a technical limitation. That's a deliberate business decision to keep it in the diagnostic category rather than the penetration testing category.
That's a fascinating line to draw in silicon. You build a device that could do everything, and then you deliberately break one feature so it can only be sold as a diagnostic tool.
And it works. Enterprises that have procurement policies against buying hacking tools can buy a WLAN Pi Go because it's a network diagnostic appliance. It says so right on the box. Meanwhile, the alpha adapter sitting next to it on the shelf can do everything the WLAN Pi can do, plus injection, and it costs a sixth of the price, but it doesn't have the same procurement-friendly label. The hardware is encoding legal and ethical boundaries.
So the WLAN Pi Go is passive only by design. What about the other end of the price spectrum? You mentioned enterprise gear.
The Ikahau Sidekick. About $3,000, and it's a completely different beast. It combines Wi-Fi scanning with a dedicated spectrum analyzer chip that can visualize RF noise across the 2.4 and 5 GHz bands. It's aimed at professional site surveys, hospitals, stadiums, corporate campuses. It does both active and passive scanning, but it's so expensive and so specialized that you're not going to accidentally buy one thinking it's a better Wi-Fi card. The Sidekick is unambiguously a professional tool, and the price tag enforces that.
So we've got three tiers. The $40 alpha adapter that does everything but requires you to know what you're doing. The $250 WLAN Pi Go that does passive-only diagnostics out of the box. And the $3,000 Ikahau Sidekick. That's a full professional spectrum analyzer.
That's the taxonomy. But I want to circle back to Daniel's question about ARP scanning specifically, because there's a misconception baked into how a lot of people approach this. Basic ARP scanning, sending ARP requests, and listening for replies, works fine on any adapter in managed mode. You don't need special hardware for that. Your laptop's built-in card can do it. The special hardware becomes relevant when you want to do passive ARP observation, capturing ARP traffic from other devices without participating in the network yourself. That requires monitor mode, because you need to see frames that aren't addressed to you.
So, if I just want to map out what's on my local network, I don't need to buy anything.
Correct. But if you want to passively observe ARP traffic to detect IP conflicts, misconfigured DHCP servers, or devices that are on the network but not supposed to be, without sending a single packet that might alert anyone, now you need monitor mode. And that's where most consumer adapters fall down. The Realtek RTL8188 and RTL8192 chipsets that are in most cheap USB adapters either lack monitor mode entirely or implement it so poorly that they drop frames constantly. They'll miss beacons. They'll fail to capture radio tap headers, the metadata that tells you signal strength, data rate, channel information. You end up with a capture that looks clean but is actually full of holes.
And radio tap headers are the difference between seeing that a frame exists and understanding the RF environment it came from.
Without radio tap headers, you're just reading mail. With them, you're doing RF analysis. And that's the bridge to the diagnostic use cases Daniel was asking about. Let me walk through the legitimate reasons someone would use this hardware.
Go ahead.
First, Wi-Fi spectrum analysis. You want to identify channel congestion, find non-Wi-Fi interference, microwave ovens, Bluetooth, Zigbee devices, and map signal coverage gaps. The Ikahau Sidekick does this with a dedicated spectrum analyzer chip, but even a WLAN Pi Go or an alpha adapter with the right software can give you a rough picture. You walk through a building, capture frames on each channel, and build a heat map of where the signal is strong and where it's not. Second, passive site surveys. You're not injecting probe requests. You're just walking and listening. This tells you what the RF environment actually looks like without your own transmissions coloring the data. Third, troubleshooting hidden network issues. Capturing beacon frames to find hidden SSIDs, detecting rogue access points, analyzing Duth storms that indicate either interference or an active attack.
And all of those are legitimate. A hospital mapping Wi-Fi coverage in a new wing. A school trying to figure out why the library has dead zones. A business tracking down an unapproved IoT device someone plugged in under a desk.
I've seen a case where a hospital used a WLAN PI go-to-map coverage and discovered a hidden SSID from a device nobody knew about. Passive capture found it without alerting the device or the person who plugged it in. That's a genuine diagnostic win. But here's the thing. That exact same technique is also step one in a reconnaissance operation. You walk through a building, passively capture beacons and probe requests, and you walk out with a complete map of every network in range, including hidden ones, without ever transmitting a single packet. The hardware doesn't know whether you're an IT professional or an attacker. It just does what it's told.
And that's the dual-use problem. The same hardware that finds a rogue access point can be used to create one.
And it gets thornier when you look at the legal landscape. Passive capture of Wi-Fi frames is legally ambiguous in a lot of jurisdictions. The frames are in the air. They're passing through your body right now, but capturing them without authorization can still violate wiretap laws in some places. Packet injection is almost certainly illegal without the network owner's consent because you're transmitting frames that can disrupt or impersonate. And yet, the hardware is sold on Amazon with no restrictions. Anyone with $40 and a search query can buy it.
The manufacturers navigate this by marketing to security researchers and IT professionals. But the box doesn't check your credentials at the door.
Right. And that brings me to the broader RF probing ecosystem, because Wi-Fi adapters aren't the only way to do this. Software-defined radios like the HackRF and RTL-SDR can do everything these Wi-Fi adapters can and more. They cover from 1 MHz to 6 GHz, which includes not just Wi-Fi, but cellular, Bluetooth, garage door openers, you name it. But they require significantly more expertise. You need to understand GNU radio. You need to configure your own signal processing chain. The Wi-Fi probing hardware we're talking about is purpose-built. It's accessible. And accessible means more people will use it for both good and bad reasons.
So the barrier to entry has dropped from electrical engineering degree to $40 and a YouTube tutorial.
And that's not inherently bad. Democratizing network diagnostics is useful. But it means the ethical boundary isn't enforced by the hardware or the price tag. It's enforced by the user's intent and the network owner's consent. And those are much harder to verify than a procurement policy.
Let me ask you about the chipset hierarchy one more time. You mentioned Atheros and Ralink as the gold standards. What about the newer stuff? MediaTek's been pushing into this space.
The MediaTek MT76 series, MT7921, MT7915 is gaining traction, and the driver support is improving, but it's inconsistent. Some kernels handle it fine, others don't. If you're building a dedicated probing rig, you probably want something that's known to work out of the box, rather than something that might work after 3 hours of troubleshooting. The alpha adapter with the RTL-8E12AU is popular precisely because it's predictable. It's not the best at everything, but it's consistent.
The WLAN PIGO sidesteps the chipset question entirely by being a turnkey appliance.
That's the trade-off. You pay more, you get less flexibility, but you also get a device that works immediately and won't get you fired if someone finds it in your bag. The alpha adapter with its giant antenna looks like you're about to hack something. The WLAN PIGO looks like a piece of test equipment.
Which brings us to the obvious concern Daniel mentioned. He didn't want to skirt around it, and neither should we. This class of gear is dual use by design, and the line between diagnostic and intrusive is drawn by intent, not by silicon.
I think the most important thing to understand is that most people who buy this hardware don't actually know the difference between passive and active scanning when they start. They buy an alpha adapter thinking it's just a better Wi-Fi card. They fire up Kismet or Wireshark, and they don't realize that their tool is injecting frames because they didn't disable injection in the configuration. I've heard of this happening at conferences. Someone's laptop starts sending delth frames because their Kismet config was wrong, and suddenly half the room can't connect to the network.
Accidental Doeth Storm. That's a new one.
It's not malicious, but the effect is the same as an attack. And that's why the hardware itself is rarely the issue. It's the knowledge gap. People don't understand what the tools are actually doing under the hood.
The real danger isn't the hardware falling into the wrong hands. It's the hardware falling into uninformed hands.
Yes, and that's harder to solve than just restricting sales. You can't regulate knowledge, and you probably shouldn't try. But you can design hardware that makes the distinction clearer. The Wieland Pi Go's passive-only design is one approach. Another approach would be better tooling that warns you when you're about to transmit, but most tools assume you know what you're doing.
Let's open this up. Hilbert, you've been quiet back there.
I used to work for a company that built custom Wi-Fi survey rigs for stadium deployments. We'd take a Pelican case, bolt in a mini ITX board with four alpha adapters on USB extenders, and walk the entire venue mapping AP placement. Took about 6 hours for a football stadium. The Wieland Pi Go basically killed that business. It does what our $5,000 rig did for $250.
Four alpha adapters in one Pelican case. That's a lot of RF in a small space.
We had to separate them with copper tape. Looked terrible, worked fine. But here's the thing about the WLAN Pi Go. The passive-only design wasn't an engineering decision. It was a sales decision. We couldn't sell to half the enterprises we pitched because procurement flagged anything with injection capability as a security risk. The WLAN Pi folks figured out that if you just remove the transmit path, you can call it a diagnostic appliance and suddenly every hospital and bank in the country can buy one.
The hardware is shaped by procurement policy, not by what's technically possible.
Always has been. The alpha adapter is what it's because nobody in that supply chain cares what you do with it. The WLAN Pi is what it's because their customers' legal departments care very much. Same capability under the hood, different market.
Did you ever run into the accidental injection problem? Someone on the team not realizing their config was too aggressive?
Once. We were surveying a convention center, and one of the junior guys had his Kismet set to actively probe. Took down the registration desk's Wi-Fi for about 20 minutes before we figured out what was happening. The venue wasn't pleased.
What did you tell them?
Blamed it on a microwave. They bought it.
That's the knowledge gap in action. Someone who knew enough to run the tool, but not enough to understand what the tool was actually doing.
The hardware is not the problem. It's never the problem. The problem is that most people don't know the difference between listening and talking, and the tools don't make it obvious which one you're doing. You click a button that says scan, and you don't know if it's sending packets or just capturing them. I've still got one of those Pelican rigs in my closet. Weighs about 30 pounds. Now I can do the same thing with something that fits in my pocket.
That's the arc of this whole category. What used to require a 30-pound Pelican case and a team of engineers now fits in your pocket and costs less than dinner for two.
The question Daniel's really asking, whether there's hardware that's more appropriate for this kind of work than a regular USB adapter, the answer is yes, but it depends on what you're trying to do. If you want to passively observe your network without transmitting, you need an adapter that supports monitor mode, and you need to understand that most cheap adapters don't. If you want to inject frames for testing, you need one of the known good chipsets, Atheros, Raylink, or the RTL8812AU. And if you want a turnkey diagnostic tool that won't raise eyebrows, the WLAN Pi Go exists for exactly that purpose.
If you want to spend $3,000 on a spectrum analyzer, Ikaha will happily take your money.
They will. But for most people listening to this, the $40 alpha adapter and Raspberry Pi is the sweet spot. Just know what you're plugging in and what it's capable of.
The hardware encodes these boundaries in ways that aren't always obvious. Which brings us to the open question. Wi-Fi 7 and the 6 GHz band are becoming standard. The Alpha Hours 036 ACH is stuck on 2.4 and 5 GHz. There's no cheap, reliable 6 GHz monitor mode adapter yet. What happens to this category when the spectrum moves and the hardware hasn't caught up?
That's the fragmentation problem. The probing hardware category might split even further. Cheap adapters for legacy bands, expensive enterprise gear for 6 GHz, and nothing in between. Or someone will eventually release a $40 adapter that covers all three bands, and will do this whole cycle again. But right now, if you want to probe 6 GHz, you're looking at professional equipment or SDRs. There's no easy entry point.
The line between diagnostic tool and attack tool is drawn by intent and consent, not by the silicon. Understanding the hardware is understanding where that line actually sits. And right now, that line is moving faster than the hardware can follow.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping us honest, and for the image of a pelican case wrapped in copper tape.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to dig into the hardware we talked about today, we've got links in the show notes at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
See you then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.